Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised. Indeed, recording during the second half of the Seahawks-Cowboys game, which future historians will record as the stupidest game ever played.
I mean, things are just getting started here. Let's leave some room for new winners in that category.
No, the Seattle Seahawks and the Dallas Cowboys are just, they're not so much football teams as they are engines of chaos. Evidently, taking Jason Garrett out of the equation did not help that matter.
Wow.
Speaking of sports, how close are your Miami Heat to bursting LeBron's bubble?
I was so disappointed. I finally had time to actually tune in and watch a game. I guess this was Thursday night, or maybe it was Friday night.
Sports are literally on all the time right now.
Could have been both.
Yeah. They were up 3-1 in the series against the Celtics, and they lost. They got kind of blown out a little bit, and I was like, "Dang it, man! I should just not watch. If I don't watch, then things go well. If I'm watching, clearly."
I can speak to this phenomenon from yesterday. Keyshawn has an SMS log.
So,
yeah, they played literally two Stanley Cup games back to back. The second of which went to double overtime. So I don't know how the human body does that, but
sports is it's a little strange nowadays, I have to say. Just watching it and seeing what kind of weird virtual fans or cardboard cutouts or whatever they shove back there. And
did you see the Broncos have the entire population of South Park in their stadium?
No.
They printed out every character in South Park and put them in one section of the stadium. So Mr. Garrison's attending his first game. I don't know if they got the dead ones. I'm curious if Chef's on there. I didn't look at the picture close enough. I should have.
I'm still trying how to figure out Ohio State is ranked sixth in the country without having played a game. That's quite a feat.
that is the love that ESPN has for that team.
Unfucking believable.
It is.
I mean, except it really isn't. I totally believe that bullshit.
Well, right. I mean, you got to love the teams that have been playing and are just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's not enough that you guys don't have COVID. You also have a higher rating than us.
Are they allowing players that left to go back?
Go back where?
Well, so like, I know that Ohio State lost a few players that literally jumped ship and went to other teams that were still playing. And so now that they're starting back up, do the guys that split, do they have an opportunity to go back, or did they forsake that for the current year, academic year, or something? I don't know.
That's some real Lost season 3 finale shit.
It really is.
they'll get the plot back in season 4. You just gotta wait it out, man.
Boy, am I in the proper mindset for podcasting. Let me tell you.
Yeah, I imagine you're coming in hot.
Yeah, I discovered that there are at least two Frank Miller comic series that have come out that I was completely unaware of. And I ordered them, and they came in, and I've read both of them in the last 24 hours.
Wow.
I haven't been this teed up for a podcast in years. Just reading Frank Miller puts me in the proper mindset, I think. Just utter absurdity.
Someone bring me Ninja Stars immediately.
The fact that they've now got the youth of America scribbling lines for Frank Miller so he can just write whatever he wants just makes me giddy. I like a squad of artists that just squiggle lines. And it's just, yes, this is it. His latest one's a complete a treatise on the Trump era. It's spectacular.
I'm afraid to ask, is he pro or con?
Yeah.
Well, Well, I think he's con in the sense that
see, nope, Trump, already.
Trump is in with the Joker and Darkseid, and there's riots in the streets, and
so far all this tracks.
Superman's daughter and super with Wonder Woman and Carrie Kelly, who's now Batwoman after Dark Knight Master Race. Spoiler.
That's now her third identity. She was Catgirl.
Yeah, now she's Batwoman.
And sure. Why not?
Pick a lane, Carrie Kelly.
Yeah, and so they bring their own Bat Mob to fight. You can't make this up. They brought their own Bat Mob to fight the.
I heard Bat Mom. Okay, that's what I like.
Mob. Mob. Is Bat Mob much better?
Either way, I believe it.
Yeah.
Let me ruminate on that for a bit. Pray continue. I will deliver unto you the answer of correctitude before this podcast is done.
That's right. And I mean, it's just, it really boils down to, Trump is just kind of on the side. It's really the Joker and Darkseid predominant, fighting with the toddler baby brother that Superman and Wonder Woman have made. When they're just eye-beaming each other to death. That's the entirety of the story. Mm,
that sounds easy to draw.
Oh, it's spectacular. What are they called? It's like he does at least a 2-page spread about the Omega beams.
Sure.
The next page is a two-page spread on what's he call them? Oh, I'm gonna have to pull the book out. It's like the
fuck those forests.
It's like, he calls them like introducing the neutron beams or something like that. It was perfect. It's spectacular, and I thought,
what is this atrocity called?
That's what I was asking myself as I'm reading it. It's called The Dark Knight. Hang on, The Dark Knight Returns, The Golden Child.
With Eddie Murphy?
I'm telling you, I was wearing.
Because that's the one thing this pitch was missing was Eddie Murphy.
Sure, sure.
The Golden Child. Oh God. It's just everything you'd want it to be. I mean, there were the rantings of a madman 20 years ago. Now it's just.
Yeah, people said, "Oh, I love Dark Knight Returns. It's so amazing." You know, like back in the 80s and 90s or whatever. And they're like, "Oh, we need to have way more of this." It's like, are you sure? Because I'm here from 2020 to tell you.
Yeah,
this is some interesting shit.
Interestingly enough, no word out of this in the DC fandom. I noticed. Oh, yeah.
they closed the fandom. They're like, "Oh, sorry, we're full." No.
So how about Batman? Oh, sorry, guys, we're all out of time. But I thought it was 24/7.
Oh, so you're saying it's been out? It's been out for a bit.
Yes, definitely. Most assuredly, it's been out for a bit. I don't know how long.
No, this is before the reckoning.
Presumably.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I honestly don't know when it was
material published. Of that quality probably just came out as a hardback.
Fair enough. I might be right. I'm looking here.
I assure you I'm not right.
Well, it's the first printing, so maybe it is. Oh, 2020. So it came out this year.
Sounds like this year. In comic book format.
And then Frank Miller's also done a Superman Year One. So you get to see how the Superman in the Frank Miller universe came about. And oh my God, if there could be a better one than the Golden Child, it's Superman Year One. It should just be called Superman Fucks. It's three.
Now, see, I think that exists. That's something very different.
Well, hang on now. So there are three books in this that are compiled into a hardback, and each book is like an era of Superman's life. So you've got his Smallville era, his time as a Navy SEAL, and then his time in Metropolis.
What, you don't remember that, Ariel?
His time in the SEALs?
Hang on.
Did he kill Bin Laden?
In the Smallville era, basically he's friends with the emo kids. He's friends with the geeks and the emo kids and the redneck bullies pick on him, and this is Frank Miller authentic redneck dialogue throughout the first book, and it's just what you'd want.
Is it though?
Frank Miller sitting in a room in New York City imagining what rednecks sound like. And it's so great. And then they
Frank, I don't think jolt 2 is a word.
They're like in junior high, or maybe freshmen in high school. They're not really like full-blown seniors, at least from the way the art looks. And they're trying to rape Lana Lang, the bad kids, redneck bullies are. And, of course, then Superman comes in and takes her as his prize. They end up boyfriend and girlfriend. He saves her. And then their boyfriend and girlfriend, they go rollicking in the hay. And then he has to go off to the military to explore the world. And then in the second book is when he's training with the Navy SEALs and he hears sounds from out in the ocean. And it's, of course, the mermaids. And so he goes down there and beds the princess mermaid, Poseidon's daughter. And so
Ariel?
Yeah.
So he makes her his. And I wish I was making this up. I can't make this up. This is exactly what it is.
I 100% believe you. But
Poseidon is beside himself. He can't stand it. And, of course, he's going to take over. And Superman is promptly just like, yeah, I'm going to.
Amber Heard somewhere is like, I did not sign on for this shit.
And then the third is Superman, of course, in Metropolis. And
of course.
And I mean, it is just—it's amazing. Superman fucks. It's the ladies of Superman, and there's no like segue. There's no okay, I'm leaving and moving on to the next one. It's just Superman's just out the dough. He's moved on after betting and taking over the kingdom of Atlantis and running beside and out the door. Like you flip the page, and now he's riding on a bus to Metropolis. There is no like hint as to what he's left behind, how he walked out the door after becoming the king of the ocean, or nothing, none of that. No,
presumably he swam.
We're moving on, boys. Those two stories in the ingesting both of those, like a heavy dose of methamphetamines has put me in the proper state of mind for podcasting. That. And then the insanity of the NFL and college football games that have been going on for the last 24 hours, where apparently special teams have completely gone to die. And so here I am.
It turns out Zoom calls aren't as good as a practice when it comes to fielding a punt.
No.
Who would have thought?
Although, my God, I mean, I think any one of us could have run our asses closer to Tyler Lockett than what the Cowboys cornerbacks have been able to do in the last 2 hours.
I might disagree with you there. Tyler Lockett pretty fast.
Tyler Lockett pretty fast, but goddamn. Tyler Lockett by himself.
Well,
I'm pretty sure even trotting along behind him, we could stay close enough in a 5-yard out route that at least we'd be on the screen at the same time. You got to actively be running the other direction.
That's a good segue to one of the things I wrote down to talk about here. How are you feeling about the McCarthy era Cowboys there, Key?
I'd like them to come for the first quarter. That which I seem to recall was a running theme in Green Bay, and
the Garrett era Cowboys. It's very same as it ever was.
Yeah, certainly the first quarter issues. But by God, do I love seeing passes in the middle of the field? Finally, it's been more than a decade since I've seen any pass go over the middle of the field. They finally are using the full field, and I do like Dak because of it. I just wish our defense was there, and we have no defense. Our secondary is horrible.
Yeah, which we kind of knew.
And our offensive line's hammered too, so that hurts. But those are things we need to fix that no head coach is going to be able to fix. That's personnel. That's going to take a little while. But by God, we know what we need.
It's been interesting to listen to sports talking heads talk themselves into Mike McCarthy. It's like they've already forgotten that 18 months ago, this was the guy who wasted Aaron Rodgers' prime.
Yeah. Well, now he gets a chance with Dak.
There's no Packers fan in the world. I guarantee you it's like, oh, Dallas is going to be back. No.
No. I've been so abused that to finally have things go wrong and no one is applauding it on the sideline makes me ecstatic. Just that simple, simple thing. We can lose. That's fine. I just don't want to cheer that we're losing. Yay. Good job. That's how bad it was for me, at least. So I'm all fine with losing. and mediocrity. Lord knows we've had it for so long. It feels like the Steve Palour era is what it feels like. I was telling somebody that the other day.
That's where I came into Dallas, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were
3-13, baby.
I saw Lawrence Taylor do something to Steve Palour that I was a young boy. And on that day, I knew that a horrible thing had happened. A man had done to another man. And
Lawrence Taylor's crazy. Bland, though.
That was Lawrence Taylor. Yeah. LTD. Man, that was a dark moment.
That's the closest we've had to Marvel's Wolverine on a field.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, and I mean, and he was the best at what he did, and he did it with Steve Palour in the end zone, in his own end zone.
He's the only athlete whose real professional footage is more impressive than the footage he shot when he was in a movie about football.
Like
he's more fear. His Giants tape is more fearsome than his made up Miami Sharks tape.
I was a kid and was not really like big into badass defense and stuff like that. I was too young. I liked offense and that was about it, right? And boy, to see LT came in there and changed the perception of, oh my God, just horror, just did horrible things. To Steve Palour. I don't remember anybody else on the field. I just remember Steve Palour running for his life and being devoured. He looked like LT looked like the shark in Jaws. So
that shark was more forgiving.
Yeah, so that's where I am. I mean, I don't see defenders doing that to the Cowboys, but that era of hopelessness, you know, that's what's there. And I feel like we even have better tools. We have a lot better players than we did during that Steve Palour era. But man, it's hopeless. Which probably means we'll win the fucking Super Bowl this year.
No.
You mark my words. It's when I give up hope completely that we do well.
If Mike Nolan has been an improvement over Chris Richard, that's when I knew like true despair was last year's Thursday Night Football game when quarterback extraordinaire Mitch Trubisky lit us the fuck up. This is a man who literally can't throw left.
Hey, Trubisky had a good game today.
Did he really?
Yeah, they came back and won against Atlanta. Was up by 16 and they lost it.
That's a good point. Atlanta has never blown a lead ever in the history of their franchise.
They did it again.
That's their brand.
That's amazing. Yeah, they're owning it. They're really owning it.
But yeah, Dallas is a very bland cover three. People just knew what it was clearly because it's not like Trubisky can read a defense. They just, you know. Nagy knew what to tell him exactly where to do it, and then shredded us. Yeah, I mean, maybe they'll get the horses, but ultimately, there's still two dipshits running the whole show.
Yeah.
And as long as they insist on being like front and center, and I don't know.
Well, I'm okay with that. I'm fine with Jerry Jones going to his grave without another Super Bowl. I would like for me to get another Super Bowl before I die, but I'm perfectly willing to wait until Jerry Jones is out of the picture. I would that made me happy.
I think that's what hurt me is I've had information conveyed upon me recently that suggests Steven's not going to be much better.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I've liked a lot of the things he's done. That Zach Martin pick like 3 or 4 years ago is what finally converted me. I'd heard a bunch of good stories where Jerry Jones was pushing to select certain players, and then his son was the only one that could talk him out of it. And a lot of those players that his son was championing that they ended up getting have been really strong players, like Zach Martin, and really strong, good pieces of our team. And by God, that Zach Martin pick was the one that won it for me. That was like, okay, I'm a convert.
Problem is that Steven, like Pop, just wants to tell everybody and anyone who they're drafting if you ask them ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So, I don't know. They're frustrating to me because they've got the scouting. Like, that's the hard part, but they generally take really good players. It's all the rest of the shit they do. It's just like, oh, come on. Like,
yeah.
Playing Jason Garrett for more than a decade.
Right. Well, I'm convinced that as long as Jerry Jones is the general manager, they have to hire a coach that can work with Jerry Jones, and that's what's going to kill them as far as head coaching goes. And as soon as Jerry Jones gets out of the way, just anybody else, you have a better option, at least for a few years, of getting a head coach to go, well, maybe I can work with this next guy. Because right now, all everybody, you and I know, you know, all of us sitting here on this call know that we, you know, oh, I couldn't work with that guy. You know, you say, I'm gonna go be a head coach for Jerry Jones. Oh, hell. That's a hard sell for any self-respecting coach, except for ones that are hungry enough to take it. You know, I don't think they can succeed in that environment. And so the ones that are really good, they're not going to go in there.
Yeah, it's tough. They're the only front office of the teams that I've chosen to follow and support that is just truly a tire fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you look at the Mavericks, for example. Carlisle and Cuban have been making chicken salad out of chicken shit for a decade.
Yeah.
I was at 2014 where we made the playoffs because for 6 weeks when Dirk was out, they ran the offense through OJ fucking Mayo. I'm not even sure that's a person. That sounds like two foods that don't go together. OJ Mayo was probably what Mike McCarthy had for breakfast this morning.
You're talking basketball. I've only recently started to learn what basketball is again. I'm convinced if I played NBA 2K, whatever it is right now, that I would not be able to even beat the computer. The game is so different now than the last time I watched it, even a decade ago.
No, LeBron's still awesome. Didn't change that much. LeBron's still going to the finals, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, you don't see anybody post up anymore. It's a whole lot of three-point shooting.
Ah, not
it's
true.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you still have some big men in there.
That's why the Lakers are there. They're going double big men.
You have big men that dart in there for a second or two. You do not have guys that are staying in there anymore. It's a like four, you know, at best four, sometimes five guys hovering around the three-point line in a giant circle, zipping the ball back and forth, and then one or the other, the four or the five, will dip down into the zone, into the paint, for just a second or two, then dart back out.
Okay, here's the solution. Stop watching the Rockets.
Oh,
and turn on Ariel's Miami Heat.
As soon as NBA started playing through this stuff, first time in a decade I've watched the NBA. Easy. Easy. I have not watched a game in forever. And to watch them, it's just like completely eye-opening how different the game is. It's just amazing.
No, kidding aside, the pace and space is very, very different.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the speed of it. I really do.
Much
faster, much higher scoring in general.
Boy, is it higher scoring. My God. But that's because no one's doing any offensive rebounding.
I guess that's true.
They throw the ball out. It's up in the air, and they're all running the other way. And I'm just like, I guess that's why everybody's gotten so good at shooting from half court. I mean, they're amazing at shooting. It's just 1,000 Reggie Millers. And they're all shooting from half court.
For better or worse.
No one's going. Maybe. Once.
What a dated year. Reference. I love it.
That's the era I'm coming from.
I know. I knew exactly. It spoke to a year in a way that only Riyadh in 1990 did.
It's amazing. Just hurl it and then run. Of course the scores are
That's up. The whole, that's 2020 in a nutshell, hurl and run. I mean, what more do you need
that's
to say?
Right. They are socially distancing from the paint. No wonder this shit's so safe. Ain't none of them touching each other. They're all shooting threes.
Well, I'm going to recommend that you watch the finals then, preference, because this Lakers team is pretty old school, and if the Heat advance like I expect they will, they're like a deep team.
Yeah.
Well, they have a center named Bam. That's awesome.
I've been watching it, and I started watching the second they started back up to playing in the bubble. I was just because it was the only thing on. I was dying for any content. I didn't care what it was. So basketball it was. I say was because now that football's on, I might catch it. But not so bleak that I would then turn to baseball. I still hadn't been able to bring myself to do that.
I would turn to a gun first. At least it's a quick death. I would just quote The Matrix, go, not like this, and just that's it. It's a 4-hour death narrated by Joe Buck. I literally can't think of anything worse. I'd rather be devoured by ants.
Oh, damn.
it is pretty bad when they're bringing in the crowd noise, and the crowd noise isn't even that much. They don't have much crowd noise to add to it. At least Cowboys.
Where do you
Cowboys,
find crowd noise for baseball?
I know, exactly. It's, you know, a cornfield. They should be playing in a cornfield. That'd be safe.
Someone should make a movie about that.
Yeah. They should have the World Series. Instead of having it in Dallas, they should have had it in that fucking cornfield. How awesome. I'd have tuned in for that shit.
I would too, actually.
No kidding, right? They missed their fucking chance. Now I'm pissed. That would have been great.
Well, he does talk about the stuff, but he as derisively and disgustedly as possible.
Yeah.
Unless it's Aaron Rodgers. He loves Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. He's better than he used to be, but he's still not that great.
He's closer to death. He didn't actually improve.
Yeah. What about Collinsworth? What do you think of him?
I love that he's taking the Phil Simms route of adopting a faux Southern accent. Motherfucker, you're from Jersey.
I didn't know he was trying to adopt a Southern. Is this the Frank Miller Southern accent, or?
I don't know. Only you can tell me.
Dimder.
Literally one copy sold, man. Hashtag Fandom. Are you guys watching the Fandom?
Is it still going on?
It seems like every couple of weeks I see ads for it.
Oh, no.
I thought it was just the two ones separated by like 2 or 3 weeks and that was it. But maybe there's another one.
I just thought it was like a one-day thing. I didn't even realize it persisted.
I got the impression that that's what it was supposed to be, but I think the response was so overwhelmingly positive. They did it again.
Oh, Lord.
I thought they had two. They had two planned.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
One was like the trailers and all that stuff, and the other one was like less of an we only air it for 24 hours and then it's gone. It was like a longer thing where you could kind of pick and choose the panels that you went and saw or went.
Quote, well, unquote. So what good things were people saying were good about? I'm sure
everyone's stoked for that Justice League remix.
You know, there was a Wonder Woman 84 trailer.
Yeah, okay, so...
People were stoked.
I guess that's okay. But seriously, guys, Justice League Snyder Cut?
Oh, God. And there was the trailer for The Batman.
Yeah, okay.
The Suicide Squad, which has apparently 17 characters.
Yeah. there's a lot of characters in that Suicide. But there wasn't really like a trailer. It was more like, we're working on this, and here's what we've been working on.
A Suicide Legion. Yeah.
And that, two major video games.
Yes.
One, Gotham Knights, which looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
From the studio that made the Arkham series. And then there's good call. Actually, no, that's a different. So the studio WB Toronto is doing the Gotham Knights. They made Arkham Origins, and they're kind of taking that.
Yeah. I hate to interrupt you, but I want to circle back to that.
Yeah. Montreal, sorry. Montreal, sorry.
Oh, okay, that makes much more sense. Never mind.
Yeah, Warner Brothers has game studios, and the Montreal one did one of the Arkham games. The Rocksteady, the main studio from the Arkham games, is doing a Justice League, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, sorry, game that's separate from the movie series.
But all of these trailers were something that, you know, even by themselves, people would have been, you know, excited about.
Yeah, yeah. They had a panel attached to them, yeah.
Yeah, the Fandom thing itself. What was there that was any good? Other than just we have trailers,
it was like a con. Like they had panels with the creators, and they'd talk about stuff, and then they reveal the trailer and talk some more, and then it was over.
See, I watched it and I was like, okay, now we have claymation, and it was bad claymation at that.
I didn't watch too much of it, but I know
was fucking hour. I mean, it was like the premiere hour of the thing was like Wonder Woman and then claymation.
Congratulations on finding the one thing that sucked in this thing.
I stuck around for about 2 or 3 hours. Essentially, ended up making fun of claymation for a good half.
I thought it was quite the flex. It broke the internet for half a day.
I must have missed that part.
No, you didn't. You just blacked out from the joy of around that awesome looking the Batman flick.
Well, yeah, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
how much did you think that suit weighs? Because he is not a large man.
Yeah,
but in that suit, he's a large man.
Yeah, the haircut's what kills me. I would think Bruce Wayne could get a better haircut, but maybe I'm alone in this.
Given it exactly zero thought, so.
Well, I like
precisely 0.0% of my life.
I mean, he beat the dog fuck out of that one guy. I mean,
yeah,
really beat him up.
But I'm glad that once again we have the obligatory scene of the "What are you?"
Yeah, but this time it's not "I'm Batman." It's "I'm what was it? Revenge or darkness?"
Vengeance, I thought he said, but Vengeance, I don't remember.
Thank you. Sorry, I went Rick James.
Don't apologize for that.
Who are you? I'm Darkness.
It looks good, though.
Yeah, yeah. I like Jeffrey Wright as Commissioner Gordon. I think that's a good choice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like Jeffrey Wright in anything he does.
Also true.
Yeah.
He's one of those that guys, and that's a special thing to be.
Wonder Woman does look good as well.
Yeah.
It was nice to see Kristen Wiig as Barbara Minerva now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that looked decent. I hope they managed to pull it off. I had to spend 5 minutes explaining to my kids why Wonder Woman could have wings.
Why not?
Well, it's a kid thing. It's just like, she doesn't have wings. And then it's like, that movie's bad. That's it. You shrug your eyes, but put yourself in the mind of a 9-year-old. Wonder Woman does not have wings. That movie doesn't know what it's talking about. It's bad.
Could be a 9-year-old. Could be a 39-year-old male on Twitter. You don't know.
Fair enough. Now, from what I hear, I'm like, those are going to be some badass Amazonian shield wing type of shit. And I'm like, everybody's going to love those.
Yeah, I can.
Once she starts using them. But that's because we're
my 9-year-old right? brain says that's a new action figure.
I think it's more like they got it. They've been burned too many times by DC.
Well, that's fair. Children.
Yeah, sure.
I like how DC has hardened your children at the ripe age of 12.
Well, I'll tell you, that's because at the ripe age of 6, they're watching Christopher Nolan's Batman, and then after that, I let them see the rest. And so, of course, they've got a pretty high standard.
See, I have to cut that out now, so the police are not going to take your children.
Are you kidding? Yeah, that stuff is spectacular. And then they see the other Batman movies that came before, and they're just, why did they choose to do this? When you have a 6-year-old asking you about Schumacher's directorial decisions, it's spectacular. Why would he do this? Why would they dress the Riddler up this way?
Well, stuff like that is why the elderly hate young people.
Yeah.
Because we're like, this is all we had at the time. Shut up.
Yeah, no lie.
Go mow the yard.
But those video games looked hot.
Yeah.
You know, Canada's bringing the thunder this year.
Thank God for beating Montreal.
Yeah.
Well, didn't the Expos win the World Series like last year or something like that?
Oh, I don't care.
They're called the Nationals.
Yeah, I was going to say the Expos. You mean the Expos don't exist anymore?
It's still them.
The Montreal Nationals? Oh, my God. Baseball's lame.
Well, the football team? The Washington football team?
Oh, well, that was just Daniel Snyder giving the middle finger to everybody and reminding everybody, I'm a billionaire. The rules don't apply to me.
Yeah, that's right. We are the football team.
I mean, sort of.
Yeah, barely.
They play every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Well, speaking of video games.
Oh, yeah, I gotta.
Key, you had some thoughts you wanted to share with Ariel?
Oh, fuck.
Avengers.
Oh, fuck. Ariel, have you played it?
I have not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. You have.
Start at the beginning, because I like the part of the audience knows no idea anything about this game.
Okay. So, picture just like that Batman. What was that Batman game? Arkham Knight. Or Arkham. I can't remember.
Yeah,
the
Arkham series. Arkham.
Yeah, the
Arkham
whole
Asylum. There are three, right?
Yeah. I mean, and
four, technically.
The Spider-Man game that came out a year or two ago on PS4. You know, there's kind of this action beat 'em up. I don't know what you want. A little bit RPG mixed in there. Kind of like Destiny.
Yeah.
A little bit. And they have been working. Who is it? Crystal Dynamics and
great name.
Well,
I they make Tomb Raider. Yeah.
Yeah. Yet still found a way to fuck up a video game. And I mean, they really explored the space too. So they made an Avengers title. They did do that. It should be called.
They made a game.
Yeah, they did. And it hurts. It hurts. That's why I'm struggling, because you got a really good property, and there are elements that if you stand from afar and look at this and go, that looks shit hot. And even playing it, there are moments where you're just like, God damn, I'm Iron Man. Or fuck, I'm Thor. I mean, they hit right. I mean, just exactly what you want. Just if you like comics, oh, if you like those Marvel movies, you do some badass shit. Nevertheless, there is such a deluge of horribleness that those moments are buried in that it's, you can't recommend it to anybody. There's so many bad. First and foremost, it doesn't work. The game crashes as often as it runs. I have it on PC, on Steam.
I was going to ask.
I've heard that there are similar issues with Xbox and PlayStation, which, you know, that's incredible. since at least you should be able to get the consoles right. But so just the game being able to function, like just hard crash, have to restart your computer. I've seen stuff where they're talking about memory leaks, like just huge memory leaks where eventually your computer just can't run and you have to restart your computer. And that's the only way I could get the game to run was to restart about every 15 to 20 minutes. It's problems on top of problems. So it's not like you did. I have a NVIDIA 2070 Super, which until a week ago,
that's like yeah, super top of the line until like last week.
Yeah, exactly. Till last week, it was the top of the line, and I had it on the bare minimum settings, and it could not run. I mean, on the bottom. And now,
so is Iron Man the target demographic for this game?
What do you mean?
Like, do you have to have the Iron Man Mark 8 to play it?
I had the top, so I'm not sure what, you know, until last week I had the top, and it couldn't run it on the bottom. And even folks, I haven't heard enough of the new stuff, other than I've heard some problems with new graphics cards that have come out, but that's a whole other subject. But the game's just poorly, poorly done. The graphics can be beautiful, but it won't last because your computer, it's like trying to, you know, swallow it, a watermelon all at once. It's going to gag. And so your computer will gag. So then you dial all the graphics down, and the plot, I made it through the main storyline, and it was actually very good. It's centered around Kamala. I forgot her last name.
Khan, right? Is Marvel.
Khan. Thank you. Yes. Centered around her and the
Kamala Inhumans. Harris,
and I presume it's centered around the Inhumans because it takes years to make a game. At the point they started making this game, the X-Men were still verboten, and
right,
so
right.
You know, this is a remnant of that era of we're going to make the Inhumans a thing. But fortunately, there's been enough time that it's not too overwhelming, the Inhuman angle to it. It's more like the mutants than it is the Inhuman storyline that they typically go with. And the storyline's great. You're actually up against MODOK, and it's the first time I've ever seen somebody do a MODOK well, like if they did it in the Marvel movies, how they would do it. And it's pretty damn good. And the characterizations are great. You know, when I very first saw the alpha for it, some of the art, I was just like, man, I wish they could have made the characters look more like the Marvel movie characters when I first saw the alpha. But they I guess, went back and scrubbed it up and made it better because the characterizations are good enough. I mean, we've lived with the movie characters for so much that to see them look completely different and sound different is awkward. But after maybe just a few hours of gameplay, you're kind of it's close enough to the movie characters. You know, when Thor just makes a side comment that says, well, you have a problem because you're not Mikey, you know, that it's just, they've got Thor, they've got those down, they've got Tony Stark right, they've got all of them right, and they actually put them through the ringer quite a bit. And as far as the story goes, and so the story, it's great, story's really good, it's just trying to play the game that's damn near impossible. Then, unfortunately, you know, they came out and said that this is going to be a big, like, ongoing multiplayer experience. So, like Destiny, where it's kind of like there's an ongoing story, it's not like you win the game and it's over. It's more like you win the game, but there's actually still more story afoot, and you're doing things to continue, and you play those online with multiplayer, or you can. All of that is completely broken. Not only is it broken just in the sense that you can't get it to run, but even if it can run, then there's gameplay decisions where it's like you'll spend an hour and a half trying to level through something only to get to the end and there's no reward. It just doesn't show up. So you're trying to level up to get little pieces to add to your character to make them stronger. and then half the time it doesn't work. And then the other half the time it crashes. And so, like, you can earn in-game dollars that you can either buy it to level up or you can earn it in-game.
Marvel bucks.
I had earned, like, well, no. Oh, my God. I haven't even gotten to that part yet. But so let's talk about the money side of things. If you want your character to do anything other than wave, there are these things called emotes that you can buy. So it's like Iron Man would like...
Thanks, Fortnite.
Yeah,
I was going to say, it sounds very familiar.
except an emote costs $12.
Oh, you do have to be Tony Stark to play this game.
You do.
You need his bank account.
Now,
congratulate us.
Then you can buy skins for like $12 or $15 or $20. Okay? Then you're playing, the game crashes. When you start back up, the skins are locked that you paid $20 for. I earned about $20 of real world dollars in the game. My game crashed. When it started back up, all of that was gone. All of the progress was gone for Kamala, except all the things I'd unlocked were still there. So she's in this new hot, not Kamala's hot, but like this Tony Stark skin that like looks badass. She's in that, but they've shrunken her down. Like if you took it and shrunk it to where she's 8 years old, where she's at the beginning of the game. And I'm back at the beginning of the game at a level 40. So she's level 40, shrunk to look like an 8 year old, marching through the first level of the game with all of her level 40 stuff. The game says she's a level 0, but she's got power of like level 60 because of all the stuff she has. And all the progress, so all the money I'd earned, the skins I'd unlocked, everything is gone. But the game still acts like I'm at level 60. So other than, it's like a four-way fuckery where it's like, you're in Mario level 1, but you've got Mario level 30 powers. The game's treating you like you're in level 30, even though you're looking at level 1. And that when you level up your guy to level 2, it's really 32. but the game won't let you access the 32 stuff. So you've got to like level him back up to 32, but he's going to have the power of level 62 by the time you get him there. And it's insane. It's all fucked up.
That's the full Schwarzenegger right there. How much she's broken.
I've gone full Quaid. It's horrible.
And we have the episode title in the 48th minute.
It's brutal. Oh, just like so money you've spent disappears. It's gone. You can't get it back. Or the game will just flat freeze and you have to start over completely. Or you'll play and their levels are like an hour long. And so when I tell you
this begs an important question. How long are you planning on living that you're gonna play this game?
Dude, I had 72 hours into this game.
Wow.
Now,
before it reset to zero, because fuck me.
Exactly. And so Ariel can appreciate, if you're going to get 72 hours in a game that's been out for 2 weeks, you're playing nights. Like,
yeah, you're putting serious time
in camouflage. You are sneaking into a room where you might be able to get on and play for
10 minutes or an hour.
Over.
Yeah, but imagine that you do that, and through this maelstrom of shit, you're able to complete the game through all of this. With graphics, you know, with a graphics card that costs about as much and is about the same size as the new consoles that are coming out.
You're
playing at the lowest resolution that your monitor can muster. You fought your way through a campaign. You've put time and energy into this, and under the cover of darkness, away from your family, your friends. 72 hours. I think I'm at 75 now. And fought through
all
of
this. Why wouldn't you go back?
And I got to tell you, there are those moments when you're the Hulk or you're the line up or Black Widow, Captain America, Iron Man, Kamala, and Hulk. And they are all perfect. And they're at the end of it, I love the characters. I love the story. But
I was about to say, the story must be amazing to keep you coming back to this abusive relationship.
No, no, it's not the story that gets me coming back. The story was good to get me going through the campaign. What gets me to keep coming back to playing it is really there are just those moments where it's like you're fighting, you're Captain America, you're about to hit somebody. Thor throws his hammer, knocks the guy through the sky. As he's flying through the sky, you throw your shield and hit the dude as he's flying midair and bounce the shield off a wall, catch it, turn, spin, hit the ground, kick a guy in the face. I mean, it fucking looks like the Marvel movies, and you're doing it. And you have those moments. You're like, fucking A, this is
so the combat's awesome.
Oh, well, hang on. Yes, there are those
moments, and also no.
But also no, and let me tell you why. Because you're going against AIM and MODOK, which means that in order for this to sell,
no one has a real name.
they've made the bad guys are essentially robots and redneck militants. And
oh, that worked out well for George Lucas.
No, yeah, right.
Did Frank Miller write the dialogue for the militants?
Oh, I wish. Long story short is, it's just wave upon wave upon wave of the same maps. Turn the map 90 degrees, put the boxes in a different spot, do it all over again.
Sounds like Destiny.
Oh, yes, exactly. But worse. Destiny has many things that are smarter than this and what better executed. And you scratch your head and go, no, wait a minute. They already figured all this out.
Yeah, I was going to say, they should have learned some lessons, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, it's just worse in every way. And so you have those moments that are so note perfect. It's love of those moments that are good, but they ain't worth buying this game good. It's just, I already spent the money, so it's like, I'll chase it just because I already spent the money. Although Tony Hawk, the re-release of Tony Hawk has really got wanting to play that.
Yeah, I heard that was good.
Because I spent $60 on this, I'm going to, and I can have those little moments. I'm still trying, but by
God.
Are
you familiar with the sunk cost fallacy?
Yes, that's right. And
I'm living it, baby.
I am nostril deep in it. It's also called the Quaid conundrum. $60. It's the campaign alone wouldn't be worth it. Not just because of how you can't get the fucking game to run. It just it'll crash.
That's
on
fair.
And then to stick around and lose stuff that you bought or that you earned, but particularly if you bought and it's just gone, can't get it back. Can't unlock it. It's just it ain't ready. It's a year from being ready, and unfortunately, I think the PC crowd has already left it. It's not even in the top three on Steam, and that's a bad sign. So there ain't going to be other people to play with. So how much they more content? I think they blew it. When it's supposed to be a multiplayer experience, there's no more campaign really. The campaign was good, but there's not that much. It's a damn shame. It could have been something really, really special. And boy, did they fuck it up. And I'm sure I'm going to be mad that I forgot something else that was equally horrible about the game. But those are the things that immediately come to mind. Give me a few minutes.
Depressing that there's more horrible things to go around. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm really sorry that you keep playing it. That is... to be truthful, but
yeah, that's well, it's that fallacy. I'm stuck. I spend my money on this. I try and get those good moments, and you can't get those good moments every once in a while. That just hot damn, but it's wearing thin. No,
I'm gonna wait for the discount, $40, $20, play the campaign, and then I'm out.
Yeah, that might be it. And the campaign was really good. Boy, Black Widow's a badass. Oh, it's she is everything you would want Black Widow to be. Oh, god
cool.
Damn.
Cool.
Fucking awesome.
If only someone could make a movie about a character like that.
Damn right.
It's postponed to May of 2021 now.
Is really?
Yeah. Disney and Marvel just moved everything out a year.
Oh.
Well, yeah, because Tenet flopped.
Yeah.
Right? Because financially, know, hard, there's yeah. a pandemic going on.
Yeah. Turns out Christopher Nolan can't just bring everybody back and fight the virus down.
Yeah, I like The Dark Knight. I'm not going to die for it.
Exactly. Exactly. Did you see news that there's going to be a Nick Fury show on Disney+?
Yes. Yes.
Samuel L. Jackson, motherfucker.
All right. Segue. I think Disney is acutely aware, because they have a calendar, that those year-long subscriptions are coming up, because they dropped a bunch of cool shit.
Yeah.
Trailer-wise. Nick Fury, I did not catch.
What else did they drop? Well, I saw WandaVision. That was
Yeah.
What'd you think, Ariel?
I'm excited. There's all kinds of little Easter eggs in there too that I learned about. But in general, I'm stoked to see where this leads and how it ties into the next Doctor Strange and everything else.
I love that it looks like it is building off of Tom King's run.
Yes,
that's all I wanted.
Yeah,
they're doing that right. Like that's what should have happened. So I'm glad they're picking up on.
So guys, help me. Are we living in a fictional realm inside her head? Or his head? Do we know?
I think it's deliberately ambiguous. I was, after watching the trailer, I was wondering, and you guys can tell me if you think this is bullshit or not, if perhaps that title that we kind of hate is like intended to be a double entendre?
Could be.
It's a WandaVision?
Yeah, could be. I think, yeah. I mean, there was a scene where like somebody got thrown out of like their that world, and there's like some sort of village being surrounded by the government agents or whatever. So clearly like there's like a reality altering bubble that they're in or something. So maybe some people can peer inside of it or something, or there's some kind of signal or something. Who knows? I mean, there's definitely a lot of
Wanda
stuff you can extract.
True show.
Yeah, I mean, could be something like that. Who knows? Really?
Oh shit.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Plenty of questions, but the tone seems just delightful.
Right? Right. That was the last time I felt that was I thought the trailer for Winter Soldier, you got that 70s, I'm going to screw it up, French Connection vibe from that trailer for Winter Soldier. And this was the
Operation Condors type stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And this one felt exactly the same way. Not that French Connection vibe. I just mean like it hit the note that story should hit in my head. It hit my head.
It's a great flick. I got to watch it again. It's been way too long.
I watched it just recently myself.
Are y'all able to watch the individual ones? Because I feel like I have to start with Iron Man and go all the way through.
No, I can. I jump in pretty regularly and just pick something and just just go.
Yeah, I'm not that OCD either.
I am. It's stopped
I know.
Me from watching the individual ones because I'm like,
75 hours, man. I know.
Yeah, I've got to make the time to plow through it. So I've not watched any of the ones I want to watch. Because I got to start at the beginning. I'm fucked up. Help me.
Or I want you to take this and shove it as far as you can into your nose.
Well, unfortunately, on that note, I have to go because the baby's waking up and I'm the only parent in the house right now.
Oh, no.
All right, we're gonna talk Mandalorian real quick and wrap it up. So that's cool, man.
Cool.
All right. Peace.
See you guys.
Take care, buddy.
Yeah. So that was the other thing that Disney Plus drop. Did you see that?
The WandaVision?
The Mandalorian season 2 teaser.
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
Have you heard about Rosario Dawson?
Only who she's playing.
Yeah. So she's going to be Ahsoka.
That's why I watched Clone Wars.
Tamara Morrison is going to be Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
That broke. He had somewhere on a resume or something like that he was playing Boba Fett. So, that's where I heard that. And I don't know. There wasn't any hint of that in that teaser. But hot damn, I'm pumped.
Yeah, I think that was intended to be like a really awesome drop. And
yeah.
Then some obsessed shithead found this out. So.
Right. But I'm
Favreau is still new to Star Wars. He's
it's
a different level of nerd.
There's so much Star Wars content that it's like, you have to go back, at least with my kids, I have to remind them. Okay, remember this? No. Okay, great. We get to watch the whole thing over again.
I'm still angry about the wings.
So, I'm pumped about it. What did you think?
Oh, yeah. It looks awesome. Really, really excited it's coming. Really delighted that they realized at the get-go they had something special, and so they just went right into it. So there's no COVID delay.
Yeah, we're looking out with a few of those things that are rolling out. So I'm pumped for that. There's a few things. The Boys, I don't know if you're watching that.
No, I can't remember if we talked about this on cast or just on SMS, but I really think that comic book is trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I just can't imagine like watching the show.
Oh, the show's not quite the same as the comic book.
Okay.
It's got its own thing. I'm enjoying the shit out of the show. It's just there's some hyper violent stuff in there, but even that is like, oh, just.
Well, I mean, that's like the comic book.
Yeah, but not
that's as extreme. Shtick.
Not as the extreme as the. There's like one shot or something like that where something will happen in an episode, you know, but it's not as extreme as the comic by any sense
it
of the word.
It doesn't offend me. It bores me.
Oh, see, I don't know. This one has.
Garth Ennis' really brand seems to be built upon the idea that he finds violence to other people really, really funny.
Yeah, well, this isn't that. The show is more about the plot. So
there's a plot.
Oh boy, is there a plot?
It has a premise, but I don't know if I'd call it a plot in the comic.
Well, yeah, but. That's because the show kind of expands on that plot more than the comic did. You know, the comic was just bouncing around with chaos and a little bit of premise to it. No, the series has a pretty good running plot going through it. And I absolutely love the guy that plays Butcher. I'm trying to remember his name. All I can think of is Aomer or Bones.
Carl Urban.
Yeah, thank you. He's another one of those that guys. I can never remember his name, but by God, I know every character he's done.
He was Cupid in Xena Warrior Princess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, he was young. My
yes,
God.
He was.
Yeah. Still
and
the same look.
Presumably hungry. We all make mistakes when we're young.
I'm pretty sure that scowl that he was born with. Can you picture him as a kid with that scowl? It's there always. In his school pictures, I would love to see those to see if he ever had like a genuine that wasn't part of that little, you know,
like him and John Gruden. You mean?
Yeah. The Cowboys are making this an interesting game. I've been managed.
It must almost be over.
I've been managing to try and keep my cursing and yells to a minimum through the podcast.
Oh, they're up by 1 with 2 minutes left. Oh yeah, it's Russell Wilson time. You got your tissues ready?
Yeah, I know. Russell Wilson. You knew that going into this week. I mean, the second I knew who we were playing this week, he's fun to watch, though. God damn.
Oh, hell yeah. That's not even Dallas, like, you know, collapsing at the end. That's just Russell Wilson, what he does.
And don't Green Bay and New Orleans play tonight?
Yes.
That ought to be fun.
I don't know. It could be really sad.
Well, I was just about to make that the next topic of conversation, where – it's kind of like in the old days watching old Elway against old Montana, or then it became like Peyton versus Brady. And now we're to, damn, I was short out on these names. I have both these guys on my fantasy teams, and I can't think of their names to save my life. Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees.
The problem with that analogy is I fear they're both washed.
Well, that's what I mean, right? This is the old version of both of them. This would have been a hell of a matchup 6 years ago. Now
I don't remember Elway and Montana ever having a tilt like that. For example, I remember I remember them being in their late 30s and being towards in their careers, but they could still sling it.
Yeah, but it was always going to be a question like, is this year where they can't sling it anymore? And same kind of feeling of, well, we're going to see, we'll see. You know, Aaron Rodgers. I keep on expecting each week there's going to be some critical Aaron Rodgers injury that ends his career, and I thought that for the last 2 years.
Bringing it back to your NBA analogy, things are changing a lot. I think what's happening is the game is just, they're trying to make it less violent. In some ways, they're succeeding, at least with the quarterback position. So these guys, their bodies aren't quitting on them, at least not in the same way. So now it's just a matter of, like, they hang in there until they can't throw with any zip anymore.
But, I mean, so Breeze is what, 41? And I don't know how old Aaron Rodgers is.
Late 30s.
Yeah, and so, I mean, hell, Peyton Manning was 43 or 44, so Breeze could theoretically have a few more years. I keep on thinking this is going to be the final year for each of them, but yep, there's Russell Wilson.
But you remember Peyton's last run, though, right? He could barely throw.
Right.
I don't remember Elway or Montana getting that bad. Now, Elway had to quit because his back was, like, literally done. He had actually reached the maximum threshold for pain injections you could put in there.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah. Everyone was surprised he retired when they had a shot at a three-peat.
Ah, yeah, that's right.
And everyone was like, yeah, I literally can't. I will die.
Well, I'm just curious. I'm going to watch tonight just because I'm eager to see those two guys, see what comes out of that. But that's two good old horse quarterbacks.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Until Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers was the greatest quarterback I'd ever watched.
Mahomes is a mutant. He does stuff I've never seen anybody do on the playground. I've never seen anybody try some of that shit. He does it.
He makes it look so easy, right?
I know. And I told myself, well, the first year, there's a lot of guys that come in the first year and kick ass. But then when everybody gets tape on them, they go away. So you get the RG3s of the world or Vince Young or folks like that that can come in and really shine for 1 year. But then after the defenses have tape, NFL defenses are smart as shit. We are no longer even close to the first year for Mahomes, and he's continuing to do this stuff.
Well, this is the other ace in his sleeve, if I got the metaphor correct, is he's got Andy Reid, who just routinely just reinvents the offense every year.
Yeah.
They've gotten real run heavy this year.
Yeah, that might be it.
And they don't push the ball down the field, and it doesn't matter.
It's incredible. Yeah. And they're on Monday night, right?
Yes, against Baltimore.
Ooh, that'll be
that one really should
young
be
young quarterbacks. We got old quarterbacks tonight, young quarterbacks tomorrow. Ooh, that'll be fun.
It's coming on against the Stanley Cup final because this is just the sports matrix.
Yeah, right. I think this is finally the year where I've come to accept that no matter what I do or who I am, I am terrible at fantasy football, and it doesn't bother me.
Well, good. That's I wanted us to get there. This was just for friends.
I think it you know, it took since, I don't know, how old was I? It's taken 31 years, but I've managed to pull it off. I had hope for 31 years, but for 32, it's finally dead. I'm bringing it back.
Yeah, I actually gave up on it a few years ago. I just was intrigued with the novelty of playing a sport during a COVID season.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Well, which brought me back around, but... Yeah.
I just love it gives you a reason to talk with your friends. You know, some content. I'm looking for content, you know.
I eventually just kind of stopped doing it because the leagues I were in, the entry fees just kept going up and I was just like, but I'm setting this money on fire.
Oh,
I don't
God.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I couldn't bring myself
to place like
money.
An actual wager at Vegas.
Yeah, I couldn't bring myself to actually spend money on No, that'd be
now, given how fucking random it is.
Oh, then I would, yeah, then I truly hate myself. Oh my God. This is just kind of like a play hating myself. Really, not the way that you hate yourself when you spent money on an Avengers game. Bring it back.
Oh, I think that's our, show for today on that note.
I think you're right.
I have been Cyrus Smart as Hobby.
The Cowboys fall apart here.
Oh, I'm getting the constant stream of notes from the app.
So you were just saying you had been Cyrus Mortizavi.
I have been Cyrus Mortizavi of Kirkland, Washington and GreatStorageStudios.com. With us was Ariel Rodriguez of the Comic Strip Podcast. Check that out on the 18th of every month where finer podcasts are available. Last but certainly not least, 75 hours into the greatest game ever is Keyshawn Xavier.
That was me.
And you've been listening to Full of Sun and Fury Podcast, available at fullofsunandfury.com or via subscription to Apple Podcasts and Amazon Music. This has been a Great Sword Studios production, copyright 2000. Ah!